Warning, this podcast contains bad words and stories about drugs and sex and overthrowing the government. Proceed with caution. Okay. Thank you. And now on to our show. Wake up, brother, we got nothing to do. Let's go outside, just me and you, and build a fort. We'll pack a lunch, won't be home till after dark. Then after dinner we can sneak back out. You know that high school girl I've been telling you about? Well, she gets undressed about a quarter to nine, and we can watch her do it from the big old pine next door. She got a room on the second floor. Well, looks like another fucked up day in paradise.
Welcome aboard episode 090 of the Daughter of Godcast, our ninth episode number palindrome, with the next palindrome number coming up in 11 weeks. And this week, I will turn 55, another palindrome. I've definitely cleared the half-century hurdle and am striding steady and strong. I've hardly broken in this incarnation of superfine physicality, human, male, with a 1,111-year warranty. Every breath is more fun, beautiful, and interesting. And our movie is getting made. With feedback for scene 089, check it out. Christina's got objections and Uncle Joe's got solutions. The crux of the quest is revealed and the path is about to light up. The feedback question is Christina putting up token or credible resistance? What does she ultimately want? Allison, Seamus, and Jill responded to the feedback question. Jill via Vimeo. Token resistance. She wants to believe that Uncle Joe's story is true. Seamus via dog.movie.
It's definitely token resistance. For now. She's somewhat uncertain about the whole situation, but she's intrigued and wants to know more. She's open enough to the idea that she's willing to joke about it.
Allison via Facebook.
Overall, I didn't really sense resistance as much as hesitantly going along.
I prompted Allison for her overall impression, and she responded with an auspicious association.
I'm reminded of a Wizard of Oz feeling from the beginning when Dorothy meets the traveling salesman. She's not worldly and she's too trusting, but she doesn't quite buy it either. And her unadulterated persona ends up leaving him feeling guilty about having messed with her.
That's not quite how I remember Dorothy's interaction with Professor Marvel. His crystal ball session is pretty convincing to Dorothy, and she rushes back home, which is what she wanted to do all along anyway. In this sense, there's a lovely parallel to Joe and Christina. Jill, Allison, and Seamus see Christina as going along with Joe's sales pitch of wanting what he says to be true. Here's the Professor Marvel scene from The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, please, Professor, why can't we go with you and see all the crown heads of Europe?
Do you know any? Oh, you mean the thing. Yes, I never do anything without consulting my crystal first. Let's go inside here. We'll just come along. I'll show you. That's right here. Sit right down here. That's it. This is the same genuine, magic, authentic crystal used by the priests of Isis and Osiris in the days of the pharaohs of Egypt, in which Cleopatra first saw the approach of Julius Caesar and Mark Antony and so on and so on. Now, you'd better close your eyes, my child, for a moment in order to be better in tune with the infinite. We can't do these things without reaching out into the infinite. Yes, that's all right. Now you can open them. We'll gaze into the crystal. What's this I see? A house with a picket fence and a barn with a weather vane and a running horse.
That's our farm.
Yes, there's a woman. She's wearing a polka dot dress. Her face is careworn.
That's Aunt Em.
Yes, her name is Emily.
That's right. What's she doing?
Well, I can't quite see. Why, she's crying. Oh. Someone has hurt her. Someone has just about broken her heart.
Me?
Well, it's someone she loves very much. Someone she's been very kind to. Someone she's taken care of in sickness.
I had the measles once, and she stayed right by me every minute.
Uh-huh.
What's she doing now?
She's what's this? Well, she's putting her hand on her heart. Well, she's dropping down on the bed.
Oh, no, no.
You know, that's all. The crystal's gone dark.
Oh, you don't suppose she could really be sick, do you? Oh, I've got to go home right away.
But what's this? I thought you were going along with me.
Oh, no, I have to get to her right away.
Huh?
Come on, Toto. Come on. Goodbye, Professor Marble, and thanks a lot.
Better get under cover, Sylvester. There's a storm blowing up, a whopper. Just speaking the vernacular of the peasantry.
Poor little kid. I hope she gets home all right.
A few words about Professor Marvel. It's interesting that he references Egypt at the get-go, and then makes two uncanny guesses. Dorothy's barn has a weather vane of a running horse, and that Aunt M stands for Emily. Perhaps running horse weather vanes were all the rage in Kansas, but according to thinkbabynames.com, back in the 1930s, Emma was a more common name than Emily. Maybe Professor Marvel has a little real magic going on. I'd trust Dorothy's judgment any day. I really love that Allison made the connection to the Professor Marvel scene. The Wizard of Oz is one of my favorite films. The end of Check It Out was confusing for Allison and Tim. Joe whips out a media disc, reflects rainbows into Christina's face, and then inserts the disc into a laptop, and the scene ends. Allison via Facebook. I didn't get the last part from the guy and Check It Out. And Tim via Facebook. Trying to figure out why the play with the reflection on the CD. I replied, do you have any ideas, Tim? Not a clue. 089 ends abruptly. And although the meaning of the disc business wasn't obvious, I am encouraged that both Tim and Allison raised objections, that they noticed a loose end. Because there is subtle significance to the business with a disc, but based on the feedback, too subtle. A few of our more paranoid collaborators were AWOL for this scene, otherwise we might have had a few more theories. A couple hours after 089 was posted, I was on the phone with Jill talking about Christina and Dog. Jill is very enthusiastic about Christina, her quirky mannerisms and presence. I messaged Jill a synopsis of our conversation and my interpretation. Dan to Jill via instant messenger. Christina's idiosyncratic behaviors and mannerisms are hilarious and intriguing. She is an unpredictable character. Authentic? Yes, exactly. This is also how I would describe you. She is not the stereotypic image of heroine. She may be misunderstood as ditzy by some, but she is most definitely not. And then popping out of the cosmic background radiation, Jordan via Facebook transmitted a vital perspective.
Is the sound a work in progress, or is it intentional? It is choppy and hard for me to really focus on the scenes.
Stellar feedback. Jordan's grousing represents a rift in the fabric of collaborative space-time. How many other potential dog devotees are lost because the premise of crowd creation was not clearly explained? I replied to Jordan. I admit, for most scenes, the sound mix is usually not complete, and definitely not for this scene. I understand this can be distracting. As probably you know, a scene is comprised of many elements, shots, edit, VFX, dialogue, Foley. For Daughter of God, the different elements in each scene are in various stages of incompletion. The sound mix is traditionally close to the end of the post-production process after everything else is tight and polished. The theory of this crowd creation adventure is that if collaborators can overlook the rough edges, we can get some sense of whether a scene is generally headed in the right direction for story and emotional impact. The opportunity here is not so much watch my cool movie, as it is roll up your sleeves and get into the messy movie-making process. Create with me. And that's not for everyone. It's an adjustment for sure. Jordan's comment prompted me to revise the scene page at dog.movie, explaining the premise in more detail. From www.dog.movie/daughter-of-godcast/season-2-crowd-creation/scenes/. Through 2018, we're posting working versions of scenes from Daughter of God and asking for your opinions. Answer the feedback questions and or just give your gut impressions. These scenes are incomplete, ragged-edged works in progress. You'll hear and see all manner of technical imperfections and glitches. You're welcome to comment on the really glaring problems or talk about how the story, action, and dialogue moves you. You don't have to know anything about the plot, premise, or who the characters are. Each scene is intended as a standalone mini-movie. Sharing your experience helps us to know whether a scene is on the right track and ready for polish. The Daughter of God invites feedback from everyone who loves movies, the science fiction genre, art and storytelling, regardless of gender, nationality, sexual preference, or whether you've had a delicious pancake dinner with Sri Fuji Split. To get involved with the project, you only need to have feelings and be willing to share them. Then there's the blessings and getting on the list of best beloveds. Your feedback is making this movie. And while I was under the hood, I also rearranged the content silo for the podcasts so that everything was easier to find. The bounce rate for dog.movie has been high, and this was my first step towards remediating that. I expanded my chops with Beaver Builder for WordPress and am now poised to begin a comprehensive renovation of dog.movie that might jump the dazzle up a few notches. Make Dog look more like a real movie. Thanks, Jordan. That was really helpful feedback. Lots of birds fed with one seed. The biggest bird. Test screening implies rough edges. And somehow, that's not only not annoying to future collaborators, but the best part. The premise! We're going to do a little something new. Yay! Episodes 090 and 091 will feature a before and after of the same scene. First, the raw live-action footage, then the VFX enhancement. This is going to be a little tricky because we're going to peer behind the wizard's curtain and glimpse the control panel. I want to keep you all fresh and innocent, but I think this is relevant to our process and the premise of crowd creation. So here goes. Welcome Aboard introduces the main characters of Daughter of God, Christina, Jerry, and the big boat. The theme song, Another Fucked Up Day in Paradise, gives a bit of exposition about the dog universe. Choose one of these two feedback questions. What stands out for you? What relationships are hinted at? I trust we won't have too many complaints about the sound quality in Welcome Aboard because it's mostly me playing and singing with some virtuosic mixing and instrumental boosting from celebrated Gabonese rapper Dong Singa. Maybe Jordan will reemerge from dark matter and shine with more feedback in 091. You know, he loves to be sung to. And that's a wrap on 090 Welcome Aboard, the 90th episode of the Daughter of Godcast, Crowd Creation. Cut me some slack for continually reveling at the episode count. I'm blown away that I've been podcasting for 90 weeks. Most of my monogamous relationships don't last that long. I guess this is what happens when we decide to really live, when we let the movie make us. You know, you don't need a movie. Just climb bareback onto your wild passion, throw open the gate, and ride no matter what. I'm still deciding to really live every day with every breath. For me, this project is really a profound illustration of how to manifest, deploy, pay attention, revise, redeploy, pay attention. And for every galloping, teeth-rattling step, trust your feelings. Let go, Luke.
trust the Force.